You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Off the Bench Summer Edition. All the big news and views from sport.
Yes, hello and welcome to Off the Bench NRL. This is Scotty Sattler. Jason Matthews away at the moment. He's over in Bali. And, well, it's been a big week, hasn't it? It's been all about the BBL final, of course, and also Vegas round one or round zero for the NRL continues to ramp up as we get closer to that. So what we do this week on Sports Day, well, we sat down with Toddy Carney, former Dally M winner of 2010. He really opened up, actually, about not only his career, those coaches that had a really good influence on his life, the players as well, but also reflecting on post-career as now that he's a father and a man who's got a very young family. So that's a really good and an interesting chat. So make sure you stick around for that. Also, we spoke with Broncos coach Kevvy Walters. He is just one of the great guys of rugby league. He provided us with an update on his skipper Adam Reynolds, who was injured throughout the week, and how the side is preparing for Vegas. Plus, we caught up with one of the other great guys in rugby league, Sharks coach Craig Fitzgibbon. But before we go any further, it's now time for The Dig. The segment thanks to Sherlock Wheelbarrows. View the range at sherlocklastslonger.com.au. Now, what am I having a dig at this week? Well, I think it's an obvious one this week. Mine's all about Australia Day. And, of course, the Cricket Australia and Tennis Australia at the Australian Open. And many that want, well, I shouldn't say many, I think there's a minority that really want to change the date at the moment or don't want to celebrate Australia Day. Of course, Woolworths is involved in that. I think it's ludicrous. And at the moment, Australia Day is the date that it is. There's no need to change it right now. But if we do need to change it, let's still celebrate the day that celebrates people who have become Australians on that day as well. And we celebrate the Australian of the Year, all those nominees. There's so much that's good about Australia Day. I want to keep it that date, but if they change it for the right reasons, well, I'll still be proud to be an Australian. So what do you think? From the job site to your backyard, that's The Dig. Lighten the load with Sherlock, available at Bunnings. We caught up with Toddy Carney. Here's that chat.
There's a bigger advantage for the Blues, losing their number seven.
Former Cronulla winger Dean Carney. No, I'm only joking. He did play for Cronulla as well. Also, 2010 Dally M winner, Toddy Carney. How are you, Toddy?
A little bit nervous on the way and seeing Rat on the door, so it was a good welcome.
Yeah, no, good to have you here, actually, because a lot to talk to you about. We're going to talk about your career, just generally what we like to do tonight, which is I'm going to get through some of the segments really soon and get you to join into those as well. Also, you've signed on another year, you're going to coach the Byron Bay Red Devils.
Yep, got the Red Devils, got Maddie's son, Jack, coming down this year.
So,
big signing.
I'm looking forward to getting down there to watch them go around.
It's a good Sunday afternoon.
Spend the weekend down in Byron.
We've got a lot of listeners in the Northern Rivers as well. So, yeah.
Good. How's the team shaping up, Toddy?
We're getting there. I took the job late, so I was a little bit chasing our tails a little bit. But help getting Jack will help. Just got to sign a few forwards. I'm off to PNG next week to try and bring a few back over. So,
geez, recruiting in country footy.
Can I just say, there's any footy players out there, any front rowers. Toddy's looking for some front rowers. Yeah. Go live in Byron. Yeah. Live in Byron Bay.
Yeah.
Play for the Red Devils.
Yeah.
Get a good crowd down there for the game.
We do get a good turnout. It's always busy on the hill, especially when you play against the bigger clubs. They always bring a good crowd and it gets fiery.
Shout out to you, Ballina.
Yeah, Ballina. They always beat us.
No, it's not happening next year. Yeah. Oh, this year.
Actually, I'll get you to think about this. Also for the listeners, 0457 736 736 or 8833 for our Kiwi listeners. We'll talk about local footy. I mean, the grassroots footy. There's always scandals or funny stories that come out of. And I was reading something over the weekend. I sent it to you guys. I was just telling Toddy about it. And there's all these things going up. I think it was NRL Roast, wasn't it, Daddy Vass?
Yeah.
So everyone was sending in their stories about local footy scandals. There's a couple there. There was as a guy that in the early 90s used to play rugby union before it turned professional, he played both codes every weekend. But he had to register his league contract under another name, and his name was Mitch Buchanan, who, of course, is from...
Baywatch.
Yeah, yeah. And this one, I couldn't believe this one. But a player used to crap himself before the game so the opposition didn't want to tackle him.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. That is something that's gone around.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean...
I've never heard that before.
I've got one. I won't mention his name.
No, you can.
I won't mention his name. He signed at the Roosters year I did. He was a hooker. When he scored a try at his previous club, he jumped the fence and clapped himself. He used to reckon, he said he used to go to the toilet before the game. Not a number one, number two, and not wipe his backside. He was in the middle of the scrum.
Mate, I did tackle him a few times. I think I did get a bit of a whiff from time to time.
That's horrendous. Mm. That's the worst I've heard.
So I won't mention his name. Yeah. That's pretty much there for you.
So any local footy scandals, doesn't matter whether it's rugby, AFL, cricket, rugby league, send it in 0457 736 736 or 8833. So tell us the story. Was it a year that Greg Bird, who... Right, no. You said just takes everything as serious, World War III.
Well, I went and watched him play for Southport and nearly decapitated about four kids he was playing against a couple of years ago. He's out full on. And you'll remember we spoke to Linny
on the Carl Webb charity game.
We asked him who took it seriously. He goes, oh, Greg Bird. Yeah. Wanted to kill people.
Didn't he play in the night? Was it last year?
Yeah, so with the first game we played against a Brisbane team and... had a few big islands, and I could see him before the game. He goes, I'm going to take one of these blokes' heads off. First tackle of the game, he just spears in, comes out, split across his head like a horseshoe.
Yeah.
Goes up to Robina Hospital, gets it stitched up, comes back down a few hours later, and we'll just about play our last two games. And he was about to run on. He was that keen to get back out.
Oh, mate.
He loves it.
He is a unit. He absolutely loves it. Yeah, yeah.
Also, this tonight.
Ugh, yeah.
Like it or lump it as well.
I'm still not loving that intro. It's horrible.
I love it. Daddy Vash rang me today, actually. He goes, you know that like it or lump it, you know the noise that girl makes? And I said, yeah. He goes, it was Elaine off Seinfeld, wasn't it?
No, Harry met Sally.
The cafe scene.
I'll have what she's having.
Completely got it wrong.
Also, we'll try and fit Tubes into the show.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, a little bit
that's
later
ridiculous.
On.
There's got to be an investigation into this. This has got to be, someone's got to be accountable for this.
Yeah, so if you've got any that's ridiculous or like it or lump it as well, send it through on the text line. Hey, Rat D. Oh, Rat D for attendance. Rabbit Burra tomorrow.
I come when I'm required.
Yeah.
I think I've got an A for attendance, Rabbit Burra. I'm here now. I've got asked to come when I'm here. Look, I'd come more, but I've just got to speak to the powers that be. It's not in the budget. It's not in the budget.
Well, I might give up some of my salary to
you. Oh, mate, you're such a team player, Sats.
Sats, as you know, I'm a big audio books podcasts while I'm exercising. Steve from Dubbo says, but I stumbled on the James Graham podcast, the Todd Carney episode, was outstanding.
Yeah, yeah, I'll second that. I loved it, listened to that. And I guess, yeah, just touching on that, you talked a lot about, you know, growing up, like you grow into a man. We're young kids when we start playing footy and you think, you know, you're bulletproof and you can do whatever you want and you're still playing. But you certainly got a different attitude to it all now, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. And it took me a long time to obviously grow up with the stuff that I've done throughout my career. But I had to realise to grow up fast after I'd finished, because a loss of identity and then trying to struggle where you fit and what you want to do for work. And then obviously with my employment now, working with young youth and then having a partner and a son, I just couldn't do the things I was doing. So I had to grow up real quick. Otherwise it was going to spiral out of control real quick. And I'm glad I did. It's the last 10 months has changed my life, and it's things like this. I wouldn't have been in this position to even sit in here to talk, because I wouldn't have put myself out there, because I just wouldn't have been there. Just opportunity wouldn't have arisen. So, yeah, it's been a lifelong life change. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mate, I read something today. There was an article that just came out. I sent it across to you, Sats, about the importance of community sporting clubs and what they do for people and for young men particularly in their mental health. Now, I know you would have had some dark times. What did going back to those community clubs and playing? Like, you were down in Goulburn, I think, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did going back to clubs like that do for you when, you know, you couldn't play at the level that, you know, you, you, you were certainly, you know, had the ability to, but what did it do for you mentally to go back to those sort of clubs and be a part of that sort of community?
Well, when I left Canberra in 2008 and then got my visa declined to go to the UK for 2009, I moved to Cairns, lived in a pub, worked in the pub.
Is that the Atherton Table? Yeah, Atherton Roosters, yeah.
And that was just, obviously it made me the love of the game to come back, and it was a challenge to be out of my comfort zone. Previous that year, my dad had passed away. So to get away from my family, to live in a pub and then work in a pub and then play bush footy on a weekend, just seeing the passion from the supporters, the fans, and then obviously the guys that are playing that have been working all day, slugging it out in the lumping bananas and then turn up to train and play, just the passion they have for it made me realise that how lucky we are to play the game we did and what you get from it.
Yeah, there's a lot of good people in rugby league, isn't there?
Oh, so good.
Oh, man, we had, and you know, we're talking about liking your lumping. What I'm lumping at the moment is every 3 to 6 months, about 50 Cronulla crew come up from down at Cronulla for a 50th or a 40th. And, you know, it's 3 days of, you know, fun and frivolity and all that sort of
stuff.
You
never grow up.
I'm lumping that. I said, can I do this once every couple of years? But it just, you just realise the friendships you make, the connections, they last a lifetime. It's a pretty special environment that we got to be a part of, all of us.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, you're right. I'm liking Toddy's story. It's awesome. We're going to hear more from Toddy. Scotty Sattler, Matty Rogers back in the seat as well, and Woogie would be listening in some place called Lombokan or some island. Is that what it's called, Toddy?
Nusa Lombongan.
Because Toddy, he's basically a native of Bali. What, you've got a Airbnb up there?
Airbnb and a tattoo shop.
Actually, on tattoos, Daniel from Prairiewood, you've stolen my thunder here, listening on the SEN app. Between Rat and Todd, is there any room for a spare tattoo? There's enough ink to supply a stationery across the office works across the nation.
I do have a bit.
Who between the pair has more tattoos?
I think Toddy's got me covered.
I used to copy Rat's tattoos. I did. When he first got the dice and the flames.
Yeah.
Have you got anything on your legs, Rat?
Oh, just my calves. No. But I'm actually going to get this portrait done on my thigh here of my dad and my brother and I, which is by this tattooist who's just brilliant with portraits.
Is your brother going to have a cowboy hat on?
No, yep. It's when we were kids. But it's just, you got to have the portraits done when the sun doesn't hit them. So it's, I'm looking forward to getting it.
Oh, I think he's got you. I'm looking at his legs.
Oh, yeah, he's got me.
Yeah, he's got you.
Yeah, he's got me.
What's the arrow on the inside of your thigh? What's that mean?
I've just got little ones, hopeless ones in the arrow. They're too painful to get.
Is there one on your body, Toddy, that you sort of look at it and go, what did I get that for?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got heaps of those.
Thing on my right shoulder. I remember the first day I turned up at 17 years old at the Raiders, one of my first preseason.
Were you clean then?
I was
clean skin, yeah.
And then turned up this dirty thing on my fat arm. And they just looked at me and didn't say nothing, just looked and shook the head as what are you doing?
Who was the coach right then?
Matty Elliott. Oh, yeah. Simon Wolford gave me a pasting. Ryan O'Hara gave it to me for the rest of the time he was at the club. It was just, I don't know why.
The things you do, eh?
Yeah, the things you do.
And here's me and Daddy Vass, no tats at all.
No.
Oh, have you got a tat?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You've got like a barley leaf or something.
Yeah. Is that a Barbie doll? Oh, no, it's a barley leaf. Yeah.
So, Toddy, let's talk about you a little bit in relation to the 2010 year. Dalian Medal Winner of the Year. The Roosters go on a run and get beaten by the Dragons in the grand final. What was the difference from 2010 to, you had a great career, over 200 games and played for your country, state of origin. But 2010 was something different because you spent some time at fullback. Yeah. Is there anything else that changed?
Like I said, in 2009 I spent a year in Cairns.
Mm-hmm.
Signed at the Roosters when Freddie was the coach. And obviously was really, really looking forward to that. That year he got punted and then Brian Smith took the job. And turning up to the Roosters, like anyone when you first have had a year off, I had my doubts, and my first interview with Smithy was, he said, I'm going to play at fullback.
Had you ever played fullback?
Never played fullback.
NRL, yeah.
No, but I played like a fullback when Jason Smith was at Canberra.
Mm.
So I swung from right to left, and that's what Smithy said. He goes, I think you'll be good enough. My first question was, what about Minnie? And then he said to me, well, what about Braith? He's the captain of the club. Like, if you think you're going to come in and play six, So I just said to him, look, if that's where you want me to play, I'll do whatever I can. And Brian's son, Rowan Smith, helped me so much.
He's got a good brain, Rowan Smith.
And then after Christmas in 2009, so the start of 2010, Smithy sat me down and pretty much gave me a blunt message. He told me to get off the piss. Didn't want me to drink at all. And a lot of the boys at the club of that year were doing the same thing. And we swore off it. We didn't drink. That was probably a big thing. But just focusing on footy, knew that I had a job to do in front of me. I had to challenge myself to get better because I'd never played fullback. And just trying to prove myself back, had a point to prove. And as you said, we got beat in the grand final.
You had them at half time. I thought you were going to get them.
Yeah.
Dragons. Well,
a few errors in the first half. Their first two tries, one was a forward pass and Brett Morris's foot was out the other one. But they just rolled us in the second half. Like, I thought coming up in half time, we were in the box seat. They just stormed through us. Jamie Soward's kicking game. Gaznier and Matt Cooper just burn us on the edges.
Well, you certainly made a difference because in 2009, that Roosters side got the wooden spoon.
Yeah.
So, they did too, yeah.
It was the first time a side's gone from the wooden spoon to the grand final.
He's a little bit like that Brian Smith, wasn't he? From all reports, he was... I remember Gordon Tallis saying he's the best coach he's ever had, but he's also the worst coach he's ever had because...
Very detail orientated.
For 2 or 3 years, he'd be great, and then year four, your head would be just full of so much information. You didn't know whether you could look left or right.
He was just a lot of skills. So we didn't have a big preseason of running. We were just heaps of skills, and obviously they'd burn us out. But one thing I always noticed with Smithy, he was never at the start of the sessions. He'd always hide in the trees, watching to see blokes what they were doing before they started.
Mm.
But yeah, I enjoyed my time with Smithy. He got a lot out of me, obviously. Moving me to fullback was a challenge, but I played probably some of the best football there. But then after 2010 season, me and him had a bit of a falling out. And it obviously was, looking back on it now, it was my fault.
Mm.
But for a while, I blamed him because he just pretty much put it straight to me. Is that you got to earn what you deserve, like, to get further. And at that point in 2011, I wasn't working hard to get anything.
It's a big thing, you know, when you retire and you mature and, like you're saying, you look back at it and go, you know what, I think it was my fault. It's a big admission.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
I mean, I think we've all had times in our career when you know you're not actually, like, you're there based on what you've done, not because of the hard work you're doing.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, you get called out on it and it's easy to get your back up. But as you get older, you think, yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Mate, Origin debut, what did it mean to you and how did you feel, you know, stepping onto Origin arena?
You came in against that. Probably the greatest Origin period. We'll never probably see it again.
Yeah. So in 2012 was obviously, I thought I was going to get a chance in 2010 with my form, but didn't. Then it came when I got to Cronulla, and it was obviously a relief. It was something that I'd always wanted. And I remember the first week's camp was obviously where there's a lot of talk about the Queensland team and are we going to be the team that breaks it and all that stuff. But I remember the first game in
Who
Melbourne.
Was the coach?
Ricky Stewart.
Okay, yep.
The first game in Melbourne, just before warm up, someone goes to me, "You're gonna get changed." I was sitting there, just like in a daze, because I was obviously soaking it all in. Everyone's got their shorts and socks on, ready to go. I'm still sitting in my suit, and I played like that.
Yep.
I played like that. It just went so quick. I had a penalty early in the game, missed it, and didn't find touch. So it was, it got me straight away. And obviously found my feet. I only played the 1 year, which is...
Just slaps you in the face, doesn't it?
Oh, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's first so tackle hard. Was like I'd never been tackled before. It was like stars everywhere. But, yeah, it was a dream come true. And obviously I would have liked to play plenty of more. But, I just didn't pan out that way.
Welcome back. This is Off the Bench Summer Edition.
Jason Smith finds Kevin Walters. Walters is into space. He's going to score. Kevin Walters, he scored the first try here in Origin 1, and he's put it down again in Origin 3.
Kevin Walters and Jason Smith.
And what about Rabs Warren?
Yeah.
It's good to hear that.
Good stuff. Welcome back to the show. Sats and Rad here for Sports Day on a Wednesday night, and we teased him a little bit earlier on, and he's on the line here. Brisbane Broncos coach had a very good 2023, and that man is Kevin Walters. How are you, Kevy?
Great, thanks, gents. You went a long way back in the vault to pull that out. I don't think, was there television back in those days or just radio?
The radio, mate.
Just radio.
And the wireless.
Yeah. How you been, mate? How's the Walters Christmas? Do all the five brothers get together or?
No, well, we've got our own families now. So Billy's got one child, my son Billy. So I've got two grandchildren and Jack, he's got a little daughter as well. So we have our own little... Christmas now. I generally catch up with the my own brothers sort of before Christmas, or we were actually down the coast and had a couple of days down there together, sort of late November, which was great. Yeah, really good to catch up with them all.
How good's been a grandfather? I'm a grandfather now too, but did it soften you up?
Hugo's, he's a mad Bronco supporter, obviously, and like he just, butter wouldn't melt in his mouth as far as I'm concerned. And the great thing about being a grandparent is you can just hand him back at the end of the day or the next morning.
It's good fun, isn't it?
But it's always bad. And Hallie, she's beautiful too. She's 9 months old. So, it's great when we all get together, and particularly with the grandkids. They're beautiful.
You hope that one of them doesn't become like Wayne's young bloke, Justin, and wear the opposition jersey every time
you're on the shoes. Spend most of his time in the opposition sheds chasing jerseys.
Yeah, well, that was a big trade of big Justin. But, we'll make sure that whatever team we're coaching or whatever team we're playing with, they're on board, so
as good as
that's
gold.
All good.
Mate, so we had the grand final in October, you had internationals, so a bit of a disrupted off-season given the quality of the players that you had on board. Has it been difficult to juggle?
No, it hasn't been difficult. I mean, you want to be involved, don't you? You want your players involved in the end-of-season games as long as you can, and we went all the way to the grand final, obviously. And then we had, four or five players involved in the internationals, which, again, it's great for them and great for their development as well. So, yeah, I'm all for that. We do have a shortened prep this pre-season, but, I think most of the stronger clubs do every year have that shortened prep. So we're just working them harder and stronger and faster and all that stuff that we say. And particularly this year as well with the early premiership round over in Vegas, that's made things a little bit trickier as well. But we're okay with it, and we're really excited to be heading to the US, of course.
Yeah, of course. Now, in your first address to the playing group, Kevy, when you get everyone back on board and after going down last year in the grand final, is it mentioned at all in your first address, or do you let the playing group just control it?
No. We got, when we first all got back together in January, first day back, we didn't watch the whole game, but we watched highlights and watched some things that, we thought we did really well, some things that we feel like we need to improve as well, And the wash-up was, two things. The unforced errors that we put pressure on ourselves in that first half. I think Penrith come up with one handling error, and we had, I think, 10 or 11. The second half we got better and got going, but then once we were, Penrith started to come back at us, we sort of stopped playing footy and just went into our shell, which, just tried to hang on rather than actually go out and get after the game and win it like they did for that period in the first 20 minutes,
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to seeing how your boys bounce back, Kevy, because you've got a lot of young guys and you see they're sort of bulletproof at that age, aren't you? Like, as it happens, that the older you are in your career, the more it hurts, the more you think about it. I think these young blokes, they've got memories like goldfish. They sort of forget it and move on.
That's right. Well, the more we have like goldfish, the better, because you do have to move on, Matty. And, that's a great point you make. The older you are, the more you sort of hang on to, because your chances of getting back to that stage are limited, I don't feel that's going to be the case for us. We believe we've got a really strong squad again this year, and we expect to do well this season as well.
Yeah, mate. Now, we saw a little bit of vision of Adam Reynolds at training on the week during the week. He looked like someone shot him from the sideline, from the grassy knoll. Mate, I thought you were going to have to amputate his leg the way he was hopping off the field, but they tell me it's not too bad.
No, he's okay. Yeah, he's fine. Just basically twisted his ankles. It's not a syndesmosis or anything like that. We expect him to be back to it. Well, he's running straight lines now the last couple of days, but he won't join the group until next week. He's fine. I think it's a bit of the old stage of there, and he's just missing a bit more preseason. Having that. He's fine. But obviously he rolled his ankle, but it's not anything serious.
Yeah.
The plan is for Adam not to play trials anyway. We're just going to roll him out in Vegas, so that won't change, and he'll get some good training into his belt and in and around the team as well, which is very important, but also making sure that he's ready for round one over in Vegas.
Now, round one is so important, Kevy, as we know. Was there any discussions with your high-performance team and your medical staff around Adam Reynolds and with his lower back that he's had and hamstring injuries he's had in the past, with the travel going over there and different climates, was that discussed amongst the team?
Well, certainly is. And our performance staff, like all the clubs now, like because they have so many staff, they can really design different programs for different players and the needs that they need. Now, Adam, of course, will be flying business class, so his legs won't even be able to touch the ground in that business class seat.
Yeah, I think he'll be able to stretch out.
Probably fit two Adam Reynolds in there. Alfie might even be able to get in there with him. Those two fellas, but he's fine, and the travel won't bother us too much. It's a long flight. It's 15 hours or thereabouts, but that's not much for our boys. They'll handle that okay.
Mate, with the Vegas trip, I mean, there's been a bit of talk about, you know, clubs being concerned about training grounds and this and that. But I'd have to imagine you've probably done a bit of recon over there. You've probably got your setup all ready to go by now. Is that right or no?
That's right, Manny. I had to put the sack of self myself and head over there to find the right – myself and
Alfie?
Joe McDermott, who's our – no, we didn't allow Alfie.
No, that's probably a good thing.
He's only going to Vegas once. Yeah. So, but yeah, we went over there and we'll be doing – majority of our preparation at the Adelaide Rams at their training facility in LA, and then we're going to trip over to Vegas on the Thursday night for the Saturday game. So we'll just need our captain's run in Vegas, and we've got some options there for that as well. So yeah, we're sorted, mate. That trip was very good for us, myself and Joe. It's actually nice to see, you know, where we're staying and where we're training, you know, while we're there, which is obviously really important.
Was that the Adelaide Rams or the LA Rams?
LA Rams, not the Adelaide Rams. Yeah.
LA Rams. Yeah, right. Did I call them the Adelaide Rams?
Yeah, you did. You did, mate.
Yeah. Think Kerrod's old days. Hey,
Kerrod's a Hall of Famer down there.
I know. Yeah.
Dominated the Adelaide Oval.
Century, yeah.
Hey, talking about Alfie, and is it true he's not allowed back there after the 87 State of Origin Series when he won that bodybuilding competition? He got third, didn't he, when he was in LA? Yeah,
that's right. He ran third in the lovely legs as well. So what's going to happen? They're staging that event again 30 years later. So Alfie's nominated again. I'm sure he'll be fine. But yeah, look, but it's pretty exciting for our fellas. You guys have obviously been there yourselves, but it can be a place where if you want to find trouble, you will. So we've got to be very careful there with our boys, and that's the reason for not being there too long. But we're actually really excited about being there. And the stadium there is magnificent. It's world-class. It's only, two or three years old and all the facilities. And if we can get a full house there, it'll be a great experience for our boys to entertain. And regardless of the result, the long-term benefits that we get as a club from, touring together and just spending some time together is amazing and really valuable.
It'd be outstanding. Now, I love the move. At this stage, if it's all going to go to fruition, Selwyn to centre, if that's the way it goes. But tell the listeners, I've been talking about this kid for a couple of years now, Kevy, but just tell the listeners what to expect from a really good athlete. His name's Dean Mariner.
Yeah, well, yeah, super quick. I mean, he's one of our quicker boys, over the 10 metres and also over the 40. He's had some experience in the NRL. He played a few games for us last year. But, yeah, he's just good anticipation, very strong, typical young kid coming through. He's got a lot of confidence, and yeah, it's very exciting for us as a club to give him an opportunity this season. He's been parked behind a couple of players over the last couple of years, but that's opened up for him now, and he'll get every chance to show us what he can do, particularly in the early rounds, of the competition.
Hey, now we're going to play some audio here, Kev. It's when we interviewed Billy last year, and it's about whether it's coach, whether it's Kevy, whether it's dad. This is what he had to say. So at training, is it Kevy or Dad?
Yeah, I call him Kevy. I think I've only slept up maybe two or three times the whole time I've been here at the moment. but yeah, Kevy as much as possible.
Do the players pick up on it if he calls you Dad?
He doesn't call me Dad. He doesn't call me Dad at training. he calls me Kev all the time.
He's lying to us.
I think, gee, that sounds weird. But well, we've got a bit of a relationship where while we are at training and the like, I'm happy for him to call me Kev. But outside of that, he calls me Kev anyway, so he doesn't listen to me. That's one of the things he needs to get better at. It's actually great coaching your kids, and I'm sure you guys have done it at different levels. And even, I'm so thrilled to have Bill in the club, and, I make a lot of noise around in meetings and the like. If Billy does something good or bad or whatever, we always sort of make sure that it's noted and the club and the players sort of understand it, so... We've got a good working relationship, and and the good thing for Bill is his best footy still, I believe, is in front of him.
Oh, absolutely.
The nine-jumper, making great progress last year and working on little things in his game this year again to be a better player for us, which we're going to need.
And I think the good thing for his game too, Kev, is that he knows he's got young Moser coming up his behind too.
It's good.
It's good for the competition, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. And Corey Pakes is parked in there as well. He's not without ability. And Tyson Smoothie. So we are, you know, blessed with some good number nine. So Billy's, the competition, that's what drives teams, all the way, is that strong competition within the training. And even in the opposed sessions, when you've got, good competition for spots, it makes it really competitive. And that's what we have. We're very fortunate at the moment. We've got some good depth in that, particularly in that position, which is driving all the players to be better,
Hey, Kevy, thanks for taking time, mate, to join us. I know you've got a busy schedule, but good luck for round one. Enjoy over in Vegas, I'm sure you
mate,
will. But,
be a ripper.
Thank you very much for joining us on Sports
Day. You too, blokes. That's all good. Now, I know you two blokes love a junket, so we expect to see you in Vegas.
We'll be doing our best.
We'll find out in the next couple of days. Yeah, see you, mate. Catch you later.
Good on you.
This is Off the Bench Summer Edition. We'll be back soon. Welcome back. This is Off the Bench Summer Edition.
Solomona finding Fitzgibbon. He's over the line, Fitzgibbon. Fitzgibbon's over. That's a try. A try for Sydney Roosters.
I'm thinking David Solomona. That would have been the 2000 grand final against the Brisbane Broncos. And we promised him earlier on, and he's on the line here on Sports Day. Cronulla Sharks head coach and all-round great guy, Craig Fitzgibbon, joins us. How are you, Fitzy?
Yeah, fellas, how are you?
Yeah, really well, really well. Now, the pre-season, I'm pretty sure you would have loved the pre-season as a player. I used to love them. Rat, you've said you love the pre-season.
Yeah, mate, I got into it. I enjoyed it.
As a coach now, when you've got to look at the pre-season for the upcoming seasons, has anything changed over the last, the other two that you've, since being a head coached?
You're probably better prepared than definitely the first one, I'm assuming. But, kind of a little bit of consistency there with knowing what your players are to expect. We've had a pretty stable squad. So a lot of things have helped the consistency level to how we train. And we try and stay pretty consistent in that realm. So that's helped a bit. But, you're always ready for curveballs. You're pushing the boundaries on performance there. So you probably want to push your players to a point of simmering and not breaking, and sometimes those lines get a little bit blurred, but it's been, so far, the boys have been pretty committed and pretty excited.
So no complaints about training too hard, mate? You haven't had any of those?
Dale, you know that. All we do is complain at footy players. You could train soft, they'll complain about that. Train hard, they'll complain about that. But no, you've got to say that the boy in we've got a pretty easy going bunch that are pretty trustworthy of the staff and the performance guys, and whatever gets put in front of them is there's generally a pretty good acceptance of what's coming, and that's the level we're at as a club. We're not sitting comfortable with where we're at, and we're constantly trying to push those boundaries. So when your players are acutely aware of that, and they respond in the way they're training at the moment. But there'd be 16 other clubs saying the same thing.
Yeah, mate. Did you bring any outside influences in to this preseason, mate? Like any army camps or anything?
We did a modified one. We all sort of do a season each season for 3 years in a row now. We like to get the boys out and about in our own area, where we're from, where we represent. We sort of get out the Sandhills, out the Kurnell, and hit the beach and the tracks out there. And we sort of modified a bit of army work, a bit of grunt work, and a bit of teamwork into that. That's sort of been we want that to be pretty consistent as part of our preseason. And that works well in essence. It's clearly not rugby league, but there's some takeaways you can. You can put into your season, and it wasn't. It was kind of just a nice way to sign off on the first 6 weeks of training, to be honest.
Now, once upon a time, Fitz, the big test was the beat test, but it's all about this one new one called the Bronco now. So, do we do the beat test in rugby league anymore, or is that history?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it for a while. Eh? I think it's more about the Bronco. I think there's still a few yo-yo tests going around, which the yo-yo is probably a little bit more similar to the beat, where it's a recording and you're following following the obviously the progression of each level that you get to. But yeah, we're sort of using the bronco a little bit, and when and where you use it can drastically alter their scores. I mean, we put one at the end of training the other day just to see where they're at. That was interesting. So, but yeah, look, it's a good metric. Basically, you just want a baseline of where you guys are at, and then you want to just test again to see if they've taken some. Taking some improvements on board, and again, someone might be good at a bronco, but you got to put a footy in their heads at some point as well and make some decisions in and around it.
Around the conditioning, Fitzy, who's the usual suspects? Who are the guys that are pretty much always up the front?
Blake Bailey's he's freaky. He's got an uncanny knack of, I can sort of challenge him, but he looks like he's cruising. He's not. He's pushing himself, but he just gives the impression he's doing it easy, Blake. But he's, I'd have to say Blakey would be the fittest guy, but Nico runs really well. And a couple of younger guys training with this young kid called Tommy Rodwell. He gives it's Brett Rodwell's son, actually. He gives Blake a bit of a hard time for a while there. He trains good, but Blake's the standout when it gets to that sort of stuff, though.
Hey, I was going to ask you a little bit later on about Blake Brayley, because you know, we love him. Rat especially just has been waxing lyrical about him in the last 12 months. He can't be that far from a Blues jersey. I know he's one of your players and you'll always push him, but purely from a performance and a fitness and his passing ability, and he's durable as well, he can't be that far away, Fitzy.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. Like, clearly they brought him into camp last year. And that was obviously a sign that he's in their thoughts. But with Madge taking over, I'm not quite sure what Madge will want to do there. And it was nice to know for Blake that he is in the shop window. But he's also, Blake's not comfortable with where he's at, and he thinks he's got more in him. And yeah, you really trustworthy guy, like obviously a hooker that can play 80 at the level he does in the middle, and he gets taken on a bit. And I don't think anyone would doubt his toughness, but the thing with Blake could do if you wanted to pick two hookers, with a fresher Blake and a faster Blake, he might have some impact as well. So it's up to Madge and the selectors, of course, on what they do there. But you're right. You kind of, it's not like you feel obliged to push your own players, but there's some players you coach that you think, I think he'd handle it.
Yeah, great tackle technique too.
Yeah.
Just for a little guy, they go at him and he just chops them down. Mate, now I wanted to congratulate you on the signing of Adam Fanua Blake, mate. It sort of flew under the radar. It sort of came out of the blue that the Sharks had signed him. Now, you know, a lot of people in my circle, you know, we love the Sharks, and we're sort of racking our brain over the last sort of couple of years. What are we missing? You know, like, we've got a great back row. We've got, you know, strike centres, finishing wingers, great halves. Is Adam Fanua Blake the missing piece of the puzzle that you think you needed to take you to that next level?
Look, he's still a season away. Our intentions, we think we can win without him and then keep winning with him. So that's sort of the line we've had. One thing, and you can't, you've got to really force, you've got to be careful. I don't like making excuses on what you might have been missing, but we seem to have had for the last 2 years really inconsistent middle rotations where we just haven't had our best middles available when it's crunch time. And it's happened a few years in a row, and we've had this rotation between our big men where some consistency around them and leaving them there. I think they've got, thing about all of our big fellas, I actually think they've all got improvement in them. I like the thought of adding to them, though. That's the reason we went and pursued him, and felt like, you know, we're pretty stable. We've got a pretty stable squad, a young squad, inexperienced squad. So we're all like, okay, if we're going to sign a player, we need someone that's going to move the needle for the club, the team, and particularly in the leadership space. And it just turned out that Adam popped up right in time. And we're obviously very excited by that, but it is still a long way away. And we've got to get our jobs done. So he's walking into a strong outfit, and we're confident if we get those middles fresh, we get them on the field at the right time, that they've still got some levels in them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, taking nothing away from the middles that you got there. You certainly got some good ones, mate. You're at the back end of the preseason now. I just wanted to ask: is there any boys in your squad that you've been really surprised by maybe their development with their game or the size that they've put on. They've really just knuckled down this off-season and surprised you?
Oh, I think I've probably got to, you guys would know this well. You've got your soldier-like guys that you know they're just going to turn up. Like your Dales and Cams, they just don't negotiate on any effort. They just walk in the door and go, righto, I'm going to give you the best version of myself. But I've got to say, Blake, he's walked back in and, the first thing he said was, I'm just sick of watching these semis go past. I want to get deeper. And the way he's preparing and training, he's hungry. And Nico's in the same line. Nico's still had a bloody strong year at the end. He debuted for New South Wales and Australia by the end of the calendar year and got us to the semis there. But he's come back in knowing he wants more. And because of the opportunity that was given to Braden Trindle, we've never seen Tricky at the level of commitment and physicality and fitness he's at too. So all three spine members that are going to be crucial to us, but also, they've only played six games together. So yeah, we're excited by that, but also we've got to let that develop and grow. And, we went into a semi-final series with Connor at the back there, and those guys hadn't spent any time on the field together except for the last 6 weeks. So trying to get some stability and cohesion amongst them, but thankfully they've all walked back in the door. Obviously Connor's at the Dogs now, but Willie Kay, and they've walked back in ready to rumble and take it to a new level. But we've still got a few weeks training to go, and we'll find out where we're at when the whips are cracking and come down one.
Great stuff. Hey, it's always good to catch up with you, Fitz. Love to hear how the Sharkies are going leading to round one. And good luck for the start of the season, mate. Thank you for joining us on Sports Day.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me, boys.
This is Off the Bench Summer Edition. We'll be back soon. Time for a racing update. For Racing Queensland, racing action continues every day across the Sunshine State. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today.
Yes, Chris Nielsen from Racing Queensland joins us each and every week. And the racing action continues, Nelson, every day across the Sunshine State. How are you?
That it does, Sats. I'm going very well. How are you?
Very, very well. So what's happening this weekend?
Saturday we race at the Sunshine Coast. We have a listed race there. It sort of brings the summer carnival to an official close with the listed Sunshine Coast Cup, the feature race on the day. We race at Ipswich as well, and that's it. That's it for Saturday, Sunny Coast and Ipswich. And then we go to Cairns on Sunday. That's probably weather willing. We'll see what happens with the cyclone up that way.
Of course, gamble responsibly, but load us up. What are we putting our money on this weekend?
Here we go. Big day at the Sunny Coast. Race one, number two, Ringer's Reward. Backs up from last week. Hard to beat, 1,600 suits. Race six, number five, Golden Boom. Short and sweet. He'll lead and that's the end of it. And race eight, number five, Chatty Lady in the Cup, the Sunshine Coast Cup. I think she's great value at around probably $7 or $8 by the time they jump. I think she'll run really well. And race nine, number one, Hatchet. He can chop his rivals up in race number nine. I think he'll return to the winners.
I love how confident you are with all of those. Yeah, you really sold them well. Well done. Well done. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today. And chances are, like we said, you're about to lose. So for free and confidential support, visit the website, gamblinghelponline.org.au. Chris Nelson, have a great weekend and talk to you next week.
You too, Sats. All the best.